Well, thanks for sticking around through this first half of the session. I know I'm the last thing standing between you all and your next coffee break, so I appreciate it. Again, my name is Sarah Grogan. I'm a fourth-year PhD candidate at Colorado State University, and my research is part of the TCAP, or the Tritici Coordinated Agricultural Project. Today I'm talking about a portion of my research that's about canopy spectral reflectance. So most of you are probably familiar that most of the genetic gain in yield has been made from empirical selections based on yield per se, and perhaps a handful of other key agronomic traits. And also that this genetic gain is typically highest under real favorable field conditions. We have a uniform field that's free from any abiotic or biotic stresses. However, in Colorado, as well as many other regions of the U.S. and of the world, water stress is a major limitation in crop productivity. So we're looking at canopy spectral reflectance, which is a tool to very rapidly, inexpensively, and non-destructively phenotype germplasm as a possible method of increasing yield in stress conditions through indirect selection. So this could be an effective method if, first of all, our spectral indices are correlated with yield, and also if they're highly heritable. So some of our research objectives today are to first determine whether these water-based spectral indices are associated with agronomic traits, especially when evaluated under water stress, to investigate how the strength of these correlations changes across the whole field season, to identify which developmental stages these spectral indices are most predictive of yield at, and also to investigate the genetic nature of these spectral indices and whether selections based on canopy spectral reflectance could be effective at increasing yield. So germplasm that we're working with is a collection of 299 winter wheat varieties that are representative of the germplasm across the U.S. Great Plains. So it includes everything from real elite cultivars to experimental lines to more historic or foundational varieties. And in 2013, we grew this panel at the Colorado State Agricultural Research, Development, and Education Center using two side-by-side moisture treatments. So we had a fully irrigated wet treatment and a rain-fed dry treatment. And we designed this using a modified augmented design, so it was unreplicated, but had 15 repeat checks of two locally adapted varieties. And we collected our spectral measurements using an Ocean Optics Jazz spectroradiometer that was equipped with a sensor that was optimized for the near-infrared. So each of our measurements collected reflectance data approximately every 0.3 nanometers between 590 and 1240 nanometers. And we took these measurements kind of as you would a green seeker, where we were walking through the fields and scanning the plots in a walking fashion. From our spectral data, we pulled out five different water-based spectral indices that have been previously shown to be associated with plant water status. So this is the water index and normalized water indices 1 through 4. And these are all based on reflectance around the minor water absorption band at 970 nanometers. We collected spectral measurements using this near-infrared sensor on five different days in our dry treatment and on seven different occasions in our wet treatment. And additionally, each of our plots was very precisely evaluated for phenotypic development. So we had the date that each plot reached jointing, booting, heading, enthesis, and physiological maturity. So from this, we were able to go back through our spectral data and assign for each date that we sampled what phenological stage each of our plots would have been at. So when we looked at the phenotypic correlations between our agronomic traits and our spectral indices, we saw, first of all, that these correlations were much stronger in our dry treatment than our wet treatment. Our estimates of yield were very strongly correlated with our different yield components and agronomic traits, as you would expect. And also our spectral indices, at least four of our five indices, were very strongly correlated with most of our agronomic traits. The exception here is normalized water index 2. So when we pulled this index across all of our sampling dates in our dry treatment, there was not significant associations with any of our agronomic traits. However, with those other four indices, we saw a stronger relationship between each index and yield than any other yield component. So this chart shows changes in the estimates of those spectral indices across our seven different developmental stages. And you can see a couple of trends here. So the water index starts at this very low baseline estimate and then progresses, it increases gradually during the sequence of plant development up to a maximum value during late grain filling. We see sort of an opposite trend in normalized water indices 1, 3, and 4, where we start at sort of this low baseline value and our estimates decrease gradually to the lowest value again at that same developmental stage before returning to that baseline estimate. And with normalized water index 2, we see kind of a different pattern that's a little bit harder to decipher, where there are significant differences in these initial vegetative stages, but then it's a little bit harder to take meaningful takeaways from. We can chart the strength of the correlation for these five different indices across those different developmental stages as well. And we see a couple different trends. First of all, that these indices, there is a fairly strong correlation between each of these spectral indices and yield, even for normalized water index 2, which was not significant when pooled across all of our sampling dates. It is highly significant at a few of these stages in particular, such as flowering and grain filling and maturity. And we can also see that of all of these indices, normalized water index 4 and 1 tend to have stronger correlations than the other indices, both averaged across the whole season as well at each of those individual stages. We also wanted to look at whether these indices were better predictive of yield when averaged across multiple developmental stages instead of when taken at individual growth stages. And we looked at six different combinations of stages, two each for vegetative growth, reproductive development, and when the plants were likely to be senescing. And what we saw, and here we're just showing those two indices that had the strongest correlations with yield, we saw that when we looked at averages across multiple developmental stages, there was really no advantage in our data set. The correlations were lower. In some cases, the strength of the correlation was slightly more significant, but overall it sort of diluted the strength of the correlation. So for all of our indices, the highest correlations occurred when spectral measurements were collected at flowering. And for normalized water index 4, that explained the maximum variability in yield, which was almost 60%. We also looked at estimates of heritability across our different sampling dates. So heritability averaged across the season was probably low to moderate at best, but there were certain sampling dates or periods during the season that heritability was reasonably high, 50%, 60%, and especially when compared with yield. And in this dry treatment estimates, yield was not heritable at all. We actually had an estimate of 0%. Since this was surprisingly low, we also looked at heritability of biomass grain cut from a 1 meter strip, sort of a second estimate of yield. And our biomass grain also had low heritability, only 8%. However, we did see that some other yield components had a higher heritability, more like what we would expect. The maximum heritability was 66% when we were looking at the number of kernels per spike. We also looked at the genetic correlations between our spectral indices and yield. So this estimates the amount that two traits would be affected by the same genes or the same pairs of genes that are in LD. And overall, we saw that these genetic correlations were quite high. And additionally, we looked at not only the genetic correlations between our indices and yield, which are presented here, but also between our indices and those other agronomic traits. And just like with our estimates of phenotypic correlations, there were stronger genetic correlations between the indices and yield than any other agronomic trait that we looked at. So from these different parameters, we can estimate the efficiency of indirect selection based on canopy spectral reflectance. So this considers both the genetic correlation and the heritabilities, as well as the selection differentials of your direct and indirect traits. So we weren't really able to estimate the indirect selection efficiency compared with yield, since that heritability was zero. But if we were to look at the break-even point, our selection efficiency based on our spectral data would have been more efficient at the same selection differential if yield had been 10 or 15%. These are also low heritability estimates for yield. Some of the more commonly cited heritabilities of yield might be as high as 40%. So if yield had had a heritability of 40%, our estimates based on canopy spectral reflectance would have only been half as effective as direct selection for yield. So our spectral indices might be effective selection tools for yield in some environments, and even if they're not as effective as yield, they could be used, they could be collected in addition to yield to really add some value, some estimates for yield if that trial happened to be lost. So some summaries that relate back to those original objectives. First, we saw that water-based spectral indices, especially normalized water index 4 and 1, were correlated with yield under drought stress, but not under irrigated conditions. Our estimates of water-based spectral indices, as well as both the phenotypic and genotypic correlations, followed a very distinctive growth curve over the sequence of plant development, and that those spectral indices had the strongest correlations and explain the most variability in yield when sampled at flowering. So this high genetic correlation that we saw and the moderate heritability suggests that canopy spectral reflectance could be an effective selection tool to increase yield under some, but not all, stress conditions. So with that, I have a few people to acknowledge, especially our lab's research associate, Scott Reed, who collected a lot of the spectral data for me while I was out taking other measurements in the field, but also the graduate students who are part of my lab and the department and the TCAP community as a whole. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
All right, we have about 2 minutes for questions.
Yeah.
Can you compare any of your worries to canopy temperature?
Not yet. So there's another colleague of mine who is sort of digesting the canopy temperature in relation to root growth, but I haven't seen that data yet or been able to use it.
And did you look at the possibility that the different water indices may be explaining different sources of variation?
Yeah, and I think that's very true. In particular, that normalized water index 2 behaved very differently from those other indices. And my best hypothesis about why that is I think it really has something to do with spike development. We saw stronger relationships between normalized water index 2 and our different spike and fertility traits. And also that index behaved much differently during those early vegetative growth periods than the other three normalized water indices.
I noticed that the normalized water index 2 was, 850 and 970 nanometers?
Right.
You know, you get into the near infrared and you expect a pretty flat spectral reflectance for plants, but, you know, soil reflectance is still increasing over that period of time. Do you think there was any tie-in to biomass with that index, with there being that much of a spectral distance between the two bands?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's possible that it has to do with biomass. I haven't looked into that exactly, But one of those other normalized water indices looks at the relation between 970 and 880, whereas normalized water index 2 is 970 and 850. So there is something very specific to the absorption at 850. And I think that might have to do with the spike traits.
All right, thank you.